What's going on, Tant and J-Man Show Nation? It is Monday night. It's June 8th, 2026. So you know what that means, a brand new episode of the Tant and J-Man Show, streaming live on the ISC Sports Network, along with their YouTube channel, their Twitch channel, their X account, and on the Tant and J-Man Show YouTube channel and Facebook page. Hit that like button, that subscribe button, that follow button, that those notification bells on YouTube, all that good stuff. As we are about to kick off episode 498.
That is wild.
Two away, 500. Mm. Which, like, I know anytime we've hit a big number, like 100, 200, 300, 400, or 150, 250, 350, 450, it seems like a big deal. Yeah. Something about 500 is hitting differently. It's halfway to a
thousand. Yeah. Yeah. I'm saying it hits. It hits better. Better is better the right word? It hits. It does hit differently than even 100 did, which 100 we felt like was a big milestone. Heck, 50 we thought was a big milestone. So,
well, you know, I think, and I haven't looked it up in a long time, but there used to be a statistic that most podcasts. Am I back? I think I had a connection issue for a minute.
You are back.
Okay. I was saying, I haven't looked it up in a while, but I know at one time there was like a statistic out there that most podcasters don't get past 5 episodes.
Really?
I mean, you know, we listen to ones we like, ones right. that have been around a while, or, you know, ones that famous athletes, retired athletes are doing now. But when you think about podcasting in general, there's, I don't want to say a million, but there's hundreds of thousands of podcasts out there. So it's easy to make one. You just need a little bit of equipment. Heck, all you really need is a laptop, honestly, anymore. And you can do it, but some people do like 4 or 5 episodes. Not getting the listeners we want or whatever, and they quit. So.
The thing we had going for us is we had nothing going on.
Nothing.
So we're like, yeah, let's do it. Let's keep rolling. Now we're super busy, but still find a way to get her done.
We're still enjoying it. That's what I always say, you know, people, because for everybody out there that might not know already, I do 3 different podcasts. Mm-hmm. And people are like, why? It's like, because I enjoy all of them. And I get to talk with my friends that I don't get to see or talk to very often. And you know, if I wasn't having fun with it, I wouldn't be doing it. Right. So especially as you mentioned now that we've got busier as we've got older.
Yep.
So, absolutely. But here we are. But with that said, I don't know what number of birdie or bogey trivia this is tonight, but it's got to be up there in the.
Yeah, I would say it's probably up there in the 400s at least, right?
Probably. Yeah. I feel like it was only a couple months in and then we introduced it. So.
Yeah. So tonight it's actually an NFL question. It ties college football and NFL together. So there are only 6 players. That have won both the Heisman Trophy and the NFL MVP. Can you name those 6? It's very difficult. I need to try to make up some ground here. So I chose a very difficult one. But I'm going to give you, let's say, 5 for a birdie.
That's fair.
No chance for a par.
No chance for a par. All right.
No chance for a par.
Okay. All right.
I got to kind of start making my move now. I'm on the back 9, essentially. So we're halfway through the year. So
I'm going to have to start jotting names down as they come to my head throughout the podcast because 6 of them.
Yeah. Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Giretti's Place and Arlington Public House. Small town vibes, big time flavor. Giretti's Place serves up fresh breakfast and lunch favorites to keep you coming back for more. Located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
Did you see what the Arlington Public House had as their special over the weekend?
I didn't.
Since it was the first weekend of the month, they said it means their famous prime rib is back.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. It was available from 4 to 10 over the weekend. I don't know if it's going to be brought back for the whole month of June or if they're getting into the season where they're doing it the first weekend of every month. I'm not sure. That's why you need to follow them on Facebook. But J-Man can attest
that the
prime rib's pretty darn good.
Yeah, very, very good.
Yep. For sure. And let's see what Dreddy's had over here on the face space, as one of my friends likes to call it. They had an open face Bella and a hot honey chicken sandwich as the weekend special.
I'm a big fan of hot honey.
About everywhere's got hot honey something anymore.
Definitely. Yeah, it's probably more of a fad than anything, but I do enjoy it.
Somebody commented, the turtle cheesecake is amazing.
Oh, there you go.
I like cheesecake.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I like Josh. Birdie or Boogie brought to you by Dreddy's Place or Arlington Public House. Go get some good breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You won't be disappointed with anything you order off the menu. Jamie, I want to start off tonight. I titled the episode tonight, Are the Bears Really Moving to Indiana? Last week, we talked about this a little bit. Then as the week went on last week, there was more and more that came out. And, you know, a week ago, I was still had my doubts. I don't know. I'm starting to believe Governor Mike Braun, Indiana's governor, that this thing might be in the red zone for Indiana.
Yeah. And again, I think I said it last week too. Until that shovel goes into the ground, I'll still kind of believe it when I see it.
Sure.
It still feels like they're probably going to get a deal worked out, although they haven't yet. And this has been going on a couple of years now, and it just shows the incompetence of the Illinois government as well as the incompetence of Kevin Warren, which we know that very well. It's been an absolute mess of a situation there. And I still don't think, again, as I said, until they start, you know, building, I still won't believe it. But no offense to the people of Hammond, Indiana. It's a dump. It is an absolute dump. Again, no offense to people of Hammond, Indiana.
I've never been there. So.
I've driven through many a times. I just can't imagine them building an NFL stadium there for the Bears to play in, and with their hopes of hosting a Super Bowl someday. Because I know that's their, honestly, the end-all, be-all for the Bears is to build a stadium where they can host Super Bowls. Sure, Soldier Field's getting old and all that, and they probably do need an upgrade, but that's why we're seeing all these crappy, you know, state-of-the-art dome stadiums that, again, I'm not a big fan of. I don't think many people are. They all look the same, but it's all about hosting big events, Super Bowl, Final Four, stuff like that. So I understand that aspect of it, but it does seem like it's getting closer to a potential move to Indiana.
Yeah, and I don't know, different feelings about it. I mean, I'm not a Bears fan, so at the end of the day, I really don't care.
I don't care either.
But I'm still a traditionalist with my sports fandom, and I hate just how many traditions we've lost. And even though Hammond, Indiana is not far from Chicago at all, and we see other teams. We see the Jets and Giants. They play in East Rutherford in New Jersey. And somebody even pointed out that if the Bears went to Hammond, they'd still be playing closer than the Cowboys actually play to Dallas, stadium is.
They'd be pretty much closer than the Dolphins play to Miami.
Yeah, in that regard, it doesn't really matter. But I just think of the fact that they are, like the Jets and Giants, in a different state. And the Jets and Giants were not at one time. They were in, you know, at least the Jets playing in Shea Stadium and moved. And like Mike Greensburg said, you know, I still root for the Jets, but let me tell you, Bears fan, Bears fans is not the same once they move. It'll just be weird. Like, I laugh at all the like Facebook comments, like, oh, are they going to be the Hammond Bears or the Indiana Bears or Rebrand? No, they would still be the Chicago Bears. They just wouldn't be playing in Illinois, and it's crazy to think the state of Indiana could possibly have two NFL teams.
Yeah, I think Mike Braun was on Coward's show actually this past week, and he said, "Yeah,
fitting name of a show for him to be on."
Yeah, they're gonna be the Chicago Bears even if they're in Hammond.
You can't change it.
No, but it kind of makes me feel like I can't even call them the Chicago Bears anymore. I have to just call them the Bears, kind of like the Athletics in Oakland since they moved to Sacramento. It's weird.
Thad Mooney, a good friend of the show, a loyal viewer who lives in Texas, says Dallas's Arlington is a haul to call it Dallas.
Yeah. Yep. It's Arlington is not Dallas, but that's where the Rangers play too. They play in Arlington as well.
Yep. So. Yep. So yeah, but I guess I get the outcry, But also, I think it's like you're still not that far away. Yeah. And like season ticket holders probably aren't going to give up their season tickets.
Yeah, I do hate that we're seeing fewer and fewer NFL stadiums in the downtown area, because it is pretty cool to drive on, you know, Lakeshore Drive and their Soldier Field. I'm sure it's an absolute mess on game day with parking and
yeah,
all the people and traffic and all that, but it's still cool to see it right there on the lake, downtown, buildings all around. You just, in the newer stadiums, you don't really get that anymore.
Yeah. Well, and the mayor of Chicago kind of hinted at that, saying how bad the situation is, the traffic on game day, because he mentioned how he left the Packers game early.
Yeah, that's something you should admit as a mayor of Chicago.
Oh, boy.
He really stuck his foot in his mouth there.
It seems like he's done that a few times.
Oh, countless times. He is not well-liked.
Yeah, that was an instance he was trying to bring up as an example how bad the traffic situation is. And like, yep, even if you're right about the traffic, you just made that a lot worse for yourself. But, you know, I was trying to think of other times this stuff has happened in our lifetime, and I couldn't really think of it besides teams packing up and leaving states away, like Sonics becoming the Oklahoma City Thunder.
In the NFL, we've seen it, you know, obviously with Oakland moving to Vegas. We've seen it with the Rams in LA was a little different because the Rams had been in LA for years before they were in St. Louis. Other than that, it's a weird situation.
The Nets again in the NBA.
Yeah, going from New Jersey to Brooklyn, I guess. Yes. Obviously you had Vancouver going to Memphis.
Yeah.
MLB, though. Saw Montreal Expos, that's kind of the biggest one, going to Washington.
Right.
At least recently. We'll see if Tampa Bay ever leaves.
But. Yeah, before then, who was the last MLB team to relocate?
That's a very good trivia question. Last MLB team to relocate, could it possibly be
Brewers?
Possibly, or the Braves, maybe from Milwaukee to Atlanta. Oh,
how about the Mariners?
Mariners have always been in Seattle, haven't they?
Well, weren't they they were the Pilots somewhere else? Then moved.
They were the Seattle Pilots. I think. We had obviously the Dodgers and Giants moving from New York, but that was in the 50s or so. Maybe they were the most recent. Before that, there's got to be a team that I'm not even thinking of that.
It was the Washington Senators moving to Texas.
To Texas, okay.
In 1971, before then was the Milwaukee Brewers moving to, or the Seattle Pilots moving to Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah. Seattle Pilots went to Milwaukee, and then Seattle got an expansion team. Okay.
69, yeah.
Interesting. Didn't know that.
Before that, it was the Kansas City Athletics becoming the Oakland Athletics in 67. Before that was the Milwaukee Braves become the Atlanta Braves in 65.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see any team. Tampa Bay is really the only one that maybe could potentially move someday. But
so the Washington Senators moved to Minnesota in 1960, got a team again, then moved to Texas.
Yeah, I knew there was a Minnesota connection there.
Wow, and it was poor attendance both times.
They weren't there very long before they moved to Texas then.
And I'm not going to read the other reason they list on Wikipedia as to why the Senators moved from Washington to Minnesota. You can go Google it yourself.
Yeah. Montreal moving to Washington was a rough one. I think they
– poor attendance and desire for new ballpark was the reasoning for that.
Yeah, that was their reasoning there. Poor attendance was true. It'd be cool to have two teams in Canada.
Yeah. I'm still surprised we don't have an NFL team in Canada. Even though they have the CFL, I get it. But
ship Buffalo there. We don't need them in the U.S.
They're getting their new stadium now.
I think that's going to take away home field advantage for them.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Ship the Dolphins up there. Nobody needs them in the U.S.
I'd be okay if they just folded as a franchise and I could just start over, honestly.
Man, what a climate change that'd be. From Miami to Canada.
Well, they'd finally grow some nuts and actually be able to play in the cold a little bit. Maybe.
This whole bear thing, it's just wild. Like,
it is weird.
And like you said, the shovels haven't hit the dirt yet, but man, it's every day that passes is looking like more and more like it's going to come true.
We're still going to be talking about this time next year. Nothing's going to happen yet. And yeah,
that Moody said Buffalo is Canada.
Exactly. It is
pretty much, yeah. But any final thoughts on the Bears?
No. Caleb Williams is the cover man for Madden. I haven't gotten Madden in probably 10 years.
I had got it up until college football came back years ago, and then I stopped. I still love playing with the rookies on Madden.
Yeah.
Is what it is. That's all right. I like the recruiting aspect of college football and everything. And now that the game's been back, this will be the third year coming up next month. It releases here in about a month. They just keep adding more and more to that game and making it better and better. So I'm like, that takes up enough of my time. Like one video game, I don't need another one.
Yeah, they're so dang expensive anymore.
They are. And you know one thing, I used to always be a guy who had to have the physical copy.
Yeah, I remember
when the downloadable, you could down. Nope, I had to have the physical copy.
Not that long ago, you were still getting the physical copy.
Now I'm too lazy.
Yeah, it's so easy just to do it on the actual
Xbox. Especially when both physical copy and downloadable copy both take a while to
install. It's the same thing. Yeah,
might as well get a head start. Just let it download around your system. So
I agree.
But that was a very cool cover. Reincarnated kind of the Michael Jordan image with the Chicago skyline, but it was just kind of ironic. The week the cover comes out with the Chicago skyline is the week all the news about them possibly moving to Hammond, Indiana comes out. One more thing I did want to mention. I've never been to Hammond. I'm taking your word for it. It's not a very nice place. I've been to some other surrounding cities or drove
better
through
than
them.
Gary, I'll give you that.
Yeah, drove through them. But I got to think if the Bears did move there, they'd pump a lot of money into it.
Sure. Yeah. I'm sure it'd be a pretty massive turnaround. Yeah.
At least the surrounding area around that stadium would be darn cool. And they would try to get some housing and stuff, I'm sure. Thad Moody says $70 for Mario Party for the Switch 2 for the kiddos.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. That's crazy.
That is crazy. Everything's expensive anymore.
Yeah.
Can't even have fun. Can't even have fun. Who's not having fun? It's the San Antonio Spurs.
No. I haven't watched a single second of the finals yet.
I watched the last 5 minutes of the game the other night. Friday night. Yeah, Friday night. It was weird they didn't play last night on a Sunday.
Yeah, it seems like it should be on a Sunday for sure.
Pretty crazy ending there with, the Knicks are up 14. Pretty much, all right, they're going back New York 2-0 lead. Then the Spurs get on a big run, tie the game up. Then Wimby with a boneheaded foul, takes Brunson to the line where he only hits one of two. Spurs have a chance to win at the end. Couldn't get the shot to fall.
Yeah.
So New York's going to be rocking tonight.
Yeah. The turnover that Wimby had was just kind of a bad luck
sort
of thing. He threw it right as Castle turned his head, and it was just one of those things.
You got to get out of the way after you do that, though. You can't foul.
Yeah, you do. That could – I mean, that is obviously a very pivotal moment, especially if the Knicks end up rolling.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been the Spurs shot. Go to New York 1-1. You feel pretty good.
Sure.
Now you're down 2-0 and facing a very uphill battle where, again, the place will be rocking. It sounded like Spurs, they play in the Alamo Dome still, or is it they have a different one?
Yeah.
Now it sounded like there was a lot of Knicks fans there.
I want to say it's AT&T Center, but I could be wrong.
Hmm.
I'm going to look it up. I used to think I'm being good at.
now you're at, the Mecca in the NBA and
Frostbank Center.
Frostbank, never heard of Frostbank.
It used to be the AT&T Center. Changed in 2023. I'm counting it.
Tickets to get in, stupid, expensive. You can't even, a normal fan can't even go to the NBA Finals. It has to be
it's
rich and famous guy. So,
should I look up what the lowest price is right now to get
in
tonight?
Yeah, on I think I saw it was like 12K.
Let's go see Geek. Let's go see Geek tonight and see Madison Square Garden. What do you want to see live? NBA Finals. Come on. Come on. Great audio. Whoa. The cheapest ticket, $6,029.
And that's way up. You're standing room only. Can't even see the ball dribbled on the court.
That is incredible.
Yeah, I'm not paying that.
That's more than the Super Bowl.
Yeah. The viewing experience on TV is so good anymore that it's almost not even worth it to be in.
What's the most expensive one? Price. Section 4D, row A, tickets 1 and 2. And same thing with section 6D, section 5D. $197,900.
That's just a person putting it up there just to see if anyone would bite, with zero intention of actually getting sold. He just wants to see. Wow. Smart move, honestly. If somebody buys it, you're, you know, potentially 400K richer if they buy two of them.
Glad I exited out of that. I didn't want to actually hit a button and purchase a $6,000 ticket.
Apple Pay accidentally.
Oh my God. That movie says still AT&T Center. Like it's still Deer Creek for music and indie. Not a bad arena. A few times I've been. Yeah, I've heard it's a pretty nice NBA arena. And Daryl Love had the wide-eyed emoji. Yeah. Those prices.
I think we both did that, honestly.
Yeah, that's wild. There's no other market in the NBA that would have those tickets. No, the Lakers have been there plenty of times since the Knicks.
I don't think the Bulls would even be like that either. I
wonder what the ticket was in 99, the last time they held a finals.
That's a good question. It's a very good question. I bet you could get in the door for less than $200. Back in 99.
Let's see. Google's our friend tonight.
Yeah, we've reached the point of the year, June, where we do a lot of Google throughout the show. A
lot of rabbit holes. In 1999, according to the AI overview, the cheapest get-in price in the Alamo Dome started as low as $15. Courtside seats at $500.
Oh, I'd pay that.
Madison Square Garden to get in cheapest price was $45.
Good Lord.
Courtside seats were $2,700.
Okay. $45, you could have watched an NBA Finals game.
Now it's over $6,000.
That's just absurd.
27 years later.
Three beers for $75. A hot dog for 12.
You're not kidding.
Price gouging.
But who do you like tonight in game 3? The finals might be closed out by the time we come back around next Monday.
This will be the J Man's book of prediction of the week. I think I had the Spurs winning in 6. That was my book at last week. But this time, after the way the Spurs lost game 2, I think the Knicks close her out in 4.
I hope you're wrong.
I do too. 100% hope I'm wrong. I hope it goes back. Choke. I hope it goes 7. I
hope they choke.
I think the way the Knicks have been playing, they play a good brand of basketball. And I can't believe we're sitting here and that's all we're going to be seeing all over the sports world for months, more so than any other franchise.
Probably. Oh, yep. It'll be
unless the Cowboys were to win a Super Bowl. J-Man's Book It Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for life, home, auto, business, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance. Contact Travis at 219-869-4561. Book it.
Game 3 tonight. Game 4 is Wednesday night. Game 5 if necessary Saturday. Game 6 if necessary is next Tuesday. Game 7 if necessary is next Friday. June 19th.
Could still have a week and a half left of this crap. It's been going since early April. Come on.
Well, the NHL Stanley Cup, which is still going on. Let's see here. The Hurricanes have a 2-1 series lead. Game 3 was a double overtime victory for the Golden Knights. So game 4. No. Yeah. What? 2-1? There's been 4 games played. What in the world, AI? Because it shows that game five. This is not right. There's no way. No, see, yeah, game four is tomorrow. I don't know what AI was saying. Game four is tomorrow. Game five is Thursday. Game six, if necessary, Sunday. Game seven is next Wednesday. Huh. So it would still end 2 days earlier if the NBA Finals went seven games. Still, both those leagues ending in middle of June.
It's a little too much for me. It's a come on. It's a. They're both winter sports.
Yeah,
and they always end in June.
Yeah,
makes no sense.
But I'm gonna say we're coming back next Monday. This is bold, and the Knicks have a 3-2 lead.
Okay,
in the series.
Okay.
When we get back together next week, because I think
they'll be heading to New York for game six.
I think the Spurs get it tonight.
Hope so.
Then the Knicks get game four and five. No. They split in New York, so it'd be three, and then Spurs get game five. Yeah.
I hope so. Hope you're right.
Yeah.
Hopefully Spurs are up 3-2.
Oh, I hope. I just don't see them around 3 games on row off. But, hey, it'd be a funny collapse.
It would.
Knicks fans are already acting like they have this thing wrapped up.
Yep.
It's the greatest thing they've ever seen. They can't get enough of it. All they do is watch highlights.
Yeah.
Stephen A. Smith said he does not need a ring if the Knicks win at all.
He thinks he'd get a ring?
I don't know if it was made up or not, but somebody put that on Twitter today. I don't know. I didn't watch the clip. So.
Why would he deserve anything?
He thinks he's larger than life itself.
He does. It's absurd.
Yeah. I wish I could get paid millions for some of my dumb takes.
Me too. Yeah.
But, you know.
He gets paid millions for being loud. That's about it.
It's true.
He and Pat McAfee both.
Yeah, who they're doing a alternate broadcast tonight for game three with the Pat McAfee show. It's like, who's asking for this?
No, thank you. No, thank you.
Like ESPN, you have just lost your grip on things.
Yes, they have.
Yep. Man. But, yeah. What else we got going on? Nothing really in the golf world. We got the U.S. Open next week with Father's Day. It's always that week and weekend. Of course, we got a lot of baseball to talk about tonight. But I guess one of us can get educated. I don't know whose turn it is to do that.
I'll pull it up real quick.
Okay.
See how long it takes me to pull it up. But on this day, probably a lot of NBA finals is what I'm thinking.
I hope it's something I can test some of my awful knowledge at. My memory.
On this day.com. Sports. On this day in the British Open was played in 1899. Who won? In 1899.
Old Tom Morris?
Harry Vardon.
I have heard the name.
Close. On this day in 1920, Reds Ed Rau falls asleep in center field during a long infield argument. Heine Groh goes to wake him up, but umpire ejects him for delay of game.
What the heck?
That's a good one. A lot of Belmont Stakes. Who won the U.S. Open on this day in 1935?
Ben Hogan.
Sam Parks Jr.
Never heard of Sammy Parks.
Shammy. On this day in... Here, there's some cricket. On this day in... Oh, boy. 1966, the NFL and AFL announced merger plans to form one league with two conferences, the NFC and AFC, starting in 1970.
It worked out pretty good for them, and really, there hasn't been a lot of movement in between conferences.
NFL is king, that's for sure.
I still think they could realign things to make more sense geographically. But
I agree, yeah. On this day in, 1977, on this day, Nolan Ryan notched his fourth career 19-strikeout game. That's crazy.
Dude was unreal. the longevity of that guy in his arm.
Yeah.
He's still living, right?
Yes.
Okay.
On this day in 1982, who won the NBA championship?
82. So Bird and Johnson. 82. I'm going to go with Lakers.
Lakers beat the Philadelphia 76ers 4-2.
Why do I want to say that was Magic's first title?
But I want to say it is too.
Yeah.
Or maybe he won one.
Yeah.
Previously, but I'm pretty sure. I don't know. Who won in 1986?
That was the Celtics.
That was the Celtics. They beat the Houston Rockets 4-2. Oh, that's brutal. On this day in 1989, the Pittsburgh Pirates scored 10 runs in the first inning, which prompts Pirate broadcaster Jim Rooker to say he would walk from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia if the Pirates lost. Phillies beat them 15-11.
Do you think he really did walk?
Rooker walked at the end of the season.
Ah, good on him. Yeah, good on him.
That's across the state.
Think how viral that would have been now.
Oh, it'd be huge now, yeah. On this day in French Open here.
Yeah, don't quiz me on that.
Who won the French Open women's tennis in 2002?
Serena Williams.
Serena beat her sister, Venus.
And did you see she's coming out of retirement?
Is she?
Yeah. I
don't see that.
I don't know why. Like,
who won the 2008 French Open men's?
I think that's a little early for Nadal, so I'm going Federer.
It was Nadal.
Ah.
He beat he beat Federer.
Yeah, he was unstoppable in that clay.
He dominated him 6-1, 6-3, 6-0.
I mean, that for a while that was like his tournament to lose, and then finally he started winning some other majors too.
That's pretty good on this day, honestly.
Yeah.
2015 MLB draft, Vanderbilt shortstop Dansby Swanson was the first pick of the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Oh, I didn't know he was the first pick.
Yep, I'll have thoughts on him later.
So, what year was that?
2015.
So, was he a Silverhawk at all?
I don't think so because
they switched, didn't they, to the Cubs?
Yeah, they were the Cubs in 2015.
Yeah, never mind.
But about Dansby, they hired GM Dave Stewart, who was a longtime agent. He was also a longtime major leaguer. And he ran things so poorly in Arizona, he got fired after like 2 years. But he traded Dansby Swanson for, I think it was Shelby Miller. It was Shelby Miller. Because Dansby was far down on the depth chart of shortstops. He had just been drafted, and they had already traded him like the next year. It's just bad way to do business. But anyway, on this day in 2018, who won the NBA Finals?
I'm so good until the last decade. And then my NBA knowledge is awful when it comes to the finals. I get the year screwed up. 2018, Raptors were 19. Warriors?
It was the Warriors. Yeah. Who was the MVP?
Was that Iguodala that year?
It was not.
No.
I think he won it the year before because it was their third title in 4 years. They swept the Cavs.
Okay.
Kevin Durant.
Hmm. I get the Warrior years. Yeah. I am bad when it comes to last decade.
That is going to do it for On This Day this week.
And that is the On This Day segment, which is brought to you by tonight, like it is every week, Blue River Digital. Blue River Digital is a full-service smart marketing agency. They help businesses simplify marketing and grow with intention. Their focus is on systems, strategy, and long-term results, not hype or one-off tactics. They deliver digital marketing, website development, graphic design, printing and direct mail, signage and vehicle graphics, corporate apparel, promotional items, and AI and automations. They work with small, medium, and large businesses spanning across the United States with a strong presence in Northern Indiana. Contact them today at 260-248-2749 to see how they can help you in your business with their digital marketing. Baseball, J-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, we were talking about the Cubs' upcoming schedule, how they had the A's and the Giants at home. Oh, yeah, at home. Need to go 5-1.
Yep.
2-4.
2-4. Could have easily been 0-6. Probably should have been 0-6. It 100% should have been 0-6. The two games they won in extra innings on a walk-off. The first game on Thursday, they were down 6-3 in the ninth inning and were able to scratch and claw to get back in it. And then the A's made what should have been an error, but I think they gave Moises Ballesteros a hit to prolong the thing. Dansby ties it with a single. PCA hits a walk-off single shortly thereafter. Then on Saturday night, they're down 1-2 outs, nobody on, bottom of the ninth inning. Pete Crow Armstrong lines one into the bleachers to tie it, and they end up winning in extra innings. I'm going to start with the good here, which is going to be a very, very short, very, very short amount of time that I'm going to spend on the good. Good Pete Crow Armstrong. He has been the good. He's had some gaffes in the field that have made headlines this past week. He lost a ball in the lights that turned into a 2-run inside the park homer. That was a big moment for a lot of PCA haters to post him standing there with his arms up. Like, you can't see it, and the ball's landing directly behind him.
I didn't do it through our group text because I hate the guy. I could care less. I was just amazed by what happened.
Yeah. The craziest part of it was it was an inside the park homer, and it was a catcher that hit it. So that was the most amazing part of it. But anyway, that crap happens. Like, you lose the ball in the lights. It's happened many times before. He made up for it by hitting a homer and then hitting a walk-off single later in the game. So whatever. Any else good that I can think of right now? Jacob Webb. He is the other lone bright spot in the bullpen. He's on like a 12 inning scoreless streak. And I would say he has been Jed Hoyer's best offseason acquisition so far. Now for the bad. Where to begin here? I kind of want to just go player by player. Sure. All 26 men on the roster here. I'm going to start with the coaching staff here. Actually, you know what? I take it back. I'm going to start at the top. Jed's offseason horrendous offseason. He spent a bunch of money, which I was grateful for. Besides Jacob Webb, all of it's been absolute garbage. Alex Bregman is off to a horrendous start, to the point last night after the game, he said, "I've been awful and I need to be better." Well, no crap. You need to be better. He has left more men on base than any position player in baseball. Hashtag fire Jed. I like it. I like it. Been awful.
I spelled that wrong.
That's all right. They've given out so few $100 million contracts in their history to free agents. Dansby Swanson's one of them. Alex Bregman's one of them. Jason Hayward, John Lester, Alfonso Soriano. I think Yu Darvish was a $100 million guy. All of them in their first year, besides really Alfonso Soriano, weren't very good. Lester was okay his first year. But this is – it's only been – 2 months, you know, it's only been 9-10 weeks, whatever. And again, you have 95 games left in the season to kind of turn it around. There have been very few signs that it can turn around here. But going back to Bregman, he is having the worst first year I can think of since Jason Hayward did. The difference between Bregman and Hayward is they didn't need Hayward to be a superstar on that team. You know, that's probably a top 2 or 3 or 4 team this century in 2016. This team needs Alex Bregman to be a star. And he's been anything but so far at the plate. You know, Jason Hayward was synonymous with low ground balls to second base. Jason Hayward's ground balls to second base have now turned into Alex Bregman's pop out to shortstop or second base. Horrible, horrible, horrible. Let's see.
Terrible.
Edward Cabrera, they traded Owen Casey, who was one of their top prospects, and another prospect, Christian Hernandez, for him. Cabrera comes in, scouts love him, which you can see why scouts love him. He's throwing 98, 99, has a nasty changeup, nasty breaking ball. Does he get anyone out? Should be the question. No, he doesn't get anyone out. He gives up 8 runs in his return off the injured list to a terrible Giants offense, who ends up scoring 18 runs that game. He has an ERA right around 5. I think it's 4.99 to be exact. His first couple starts were okay. Since then, can't get anyone out. Stinks. Absolutely stinks. Let's see what else we got. Phil Maton here. Jed has never given a reliever a 2-year deal until 90-mile-an-hour cutter thrower Phil Maton, who has an ERA right around 8 in his first year of that 2-year deal. Horrible. Absolutely horrible. Trying to think who else they signed in the offseason. They gave Shota Imanaga a freaking qualifying offer, which, of course, the bum accepted because it's $21 million. He comes in there. He's given up 12 homers over his last four starts. Tanner and I aren't very good at math, but 12 divided by 4 equals 3. He's given up 3 homers. I've been in math class with you.
Yeah, I wasn't proud.
He's given up 3 homers a game over his last 4 starts. Terrible. It's sad. It's very, very sad that Colin Ray has been their most consistent starter when he was in the bullpen. Actually, I take that back. Ben Brown has been their best starter. He's been a revelation. He's in the good category. I forgot about Ben Brown. I'm sorry. Sorry to Ben and his family. He's been fantastic and honestly a godsend to that rotation, or we'd be looking at like a 17-game losing streak if it weren't for him. But right now, he's been awesome. He has like a 58-inning homerless streak, has not given up a homer in that amount of time. He's been great. But their second most consistent starter has been Colin Ray, which is a guy that shouldn't be in any contender's rotation. He should be a bullpen guy or an up and down guy, but he's been solid there. I'm going to give Jed the benefit of the doubt when it comes to injuries. Losing Cade Horton has been awful. Like, he's your bona fide ace. Matthew Boyd, losing him for a good amount of time, has stunk as well. He was an all-star last year in your number one starter heading in, or their opening day starter, I should say, heading in. Their depth has been terrible. Jameson Taillon, he's given up more homers than any pitcher in baseball this year, and then he gets hurt with a hamstring issue last night. So he's going to be out probably 4 to 6 weeks. So there's another injury to add to the tally. Justin Steele had a setback. He probably won't be back at all this year, I'd imagine. Daniel Palencia's had issues there in the bullpen as far as injuries go. Caleb Theobar, since he's come back from injury, has been terrible. It's been bad. The pitching staff's been bad. Jed's been bad. Carter Hawkins, their general manager, has been terrible. I can't stand the guy. I hope he gets fired into the sun. He was supposed to be the guy that revolutionized their pitching infrastructure, and they have zero quality pitching prospects down there. Their top pitching prospect, Jackson Wiggins, came into the year as a top 100 prospect. He's thrown 8 innings this year due to injury, so that's another issue. Now let's go to the position players here. Catchers. Carson Kelly's been okay. I'll give him okay. He had the worst at bat I've ever seen a Major League Baseball player have last night, with runners in scoring position in the 9th inning, to the point he swung at the first pitch, about hit him in the chest. He swung at it, popped out to the pitcher. You know how hard it is to pop out to a pitcher in Major League Baseball? He did it with a guy on second base and one out in the 9th inning of a tie game. Miguel Amaya has been so-so. He's the worst player I've ever seen. Of course, this is just the first year. It's only two months in or so. It's the first year of the ABS, but he is the worst. When he puts his hand on his head, you know he's going to be wrong, and they're going to lose a challenge. That's just the reality of the situation I've grown to come to with Miguel Amaya.
Dumb question.
It's probably not a dumb question.
Yes. How many challenges per game do they get? Or is it just whatever?
You get 2 challenges a game, but you keep them as long as you keep winning challenges.
Gotcha.
And then when you go to the extra innings, I think you only get 1. You lose 1 and you only get 1 if you have any left.
Because last night I tuned into a little bit of the Cubs game, Giants game at the end, and I saw 2 challenges in extra innings.
Yeah.
Cubs won the first, and then the second one, they didn't even grant it to the guy because
it was
the first time they granted it, it was probably borderline too late and they gave it to him.
Yeah.
And the second time he wasn't doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Would have lost anyways, it looked like. So.
Yeah, so they got bailed out with that. But yeah, you only get 2 challenges, and if you lose them both, you lose them for the game. If you keep winning challenges, you keep use them as long as.
Are you getting as tired with the hat padding as in college basketball with around the horn symbol?
No, that the college basketball one's annoying.
Oh my gosh, last 5 minutes of a game or whatever it is, everyone's
doing that. It kind of got mitigated a little bit with, you know, you only get 2 challenges throughout the game instead of every single ball that was out of bounds they were doing.
Yeah.
So it's a little better, but still, there's times where I'm like, oh, I wish you wouldn't have challenged that when it's the opposing because it barely nicks the strike zone like any other year that would have been a ball.
But
I mean, they're getting calls right, so I can't really complain because it balances out. First base, Michael Busch hit 34 homers last year, which, believe it or not, is more homers than Anthony Rizzo ever hit in a single season with the Cubs.
That's hard to believe.
He has 6 this year, and we're in June. Nico Horner had a great start to the year. He's hitting about 190 over his last 4 or 5 weeks. Dansby Swanson, I said I was going to talk about him a little bit. Still providing pretty good defense. I'll give him that. He's hitting .182, 7 homers. He did have a clutch hit the other night. He's been uncompetitive. They've had uncompetitive at-bats, especially with runners in scoring position. They're one of the worst teams in baseball with runners in scoring position. Say Suzuki's like second to last in production with runners in scoring position. As I said, Bregman's left more runners on base than any other player in baseball. Ian Happ's third, Say Suzuki seventh. Crazy thing about Suzuki, he missed first 2 weeks of the season, and he's top 10 on that list. Dansby Swanson, they've moved him down to ninth in the batting order, and he can't even make contact anymore. It's pathetic. They gave him 2 days off the past 2 days to hopefully kind of reset him a little bit. They have a day off today. Third base, I've already talked about Bregman. Ian Happ in left field. He's a guy I want up with nobody on base. He'll hit you a solo homer, and he'll look pretty good doing it. You put a guy on base, that dude's flailing like he's never swung a bat before. He looks like my daughter out there trying to hit a baseball at 2.5 years old. It is pathetic how he does it. I like the guy. Plays great defense in left field. He's in a contract year, and I'd hate to see him go because he's like one of the longest tenured Cubs this century. I mean, he's been there over 10 years, has over 1,000 hits. He's played more games than any of that core with the Cubs, but I could also be okay with seeing him leave. Say Suzuki, streakiest hitter I've ever seen. He had 30-plus homers last year. He's at 7 or 8 this year. And as I said, he's been terrible with runners in scoring position. Let's move to the bench now. I'm trying to think who's even on the bench. I already talked about Miguel Amaya. Michael Conforto's been a pretty solid signing there. He's a minor league free agent, non-roster invitee, and he's been okay off the bench. He's had some good moments in the pinch. He's hit a walk-off homer against the Reds. He had a game-tying 3-run homer in the ninth against the White Sox. He's been solid. So that was a good Jed move. Kevin Alcantara, who just got sent down today, he got brought up to kind of be a late inning, guy that can come in, maybe play some defense, maybe steal a bag, pinch run, stuff like that. He's had some of the most ridiculous base running gaffes. And last night, it probably cost him the game. Eighth inning, Bregman hits a rocket line drive to the first baseman. Alcantara, who was on first, or on third, he's supposed to freeze or even take a step back to third base. The dude just takes off, gets doubled up easily. Yeah, first and third, nobody out. Tie game, bottom of the eighth inning. All of a sudden, you have a guy on first. Tie game, 2 outs. End of inning. He got sent out today. Pedro Ramirez, second baseman, kind of utility guy. He's only 22 years old. I've been pretty impressed with him. He's a rookie, one of their top prospects. He's been pretty solid so far. But overall, Craig Counsell. I can talk about him for a little bit too if we need some time. It seems like every move he's made this year has not worked, which has been weird for him because a lot of times in years past with the Brewers and even with the Cubs, a lot of stuff worked for him. But he's pulling starters too early. Theobar comes in, gives up a 700-foot homer to Devers. It's just not working this year. And again, 95 different or 95 more games to play. He can certainly turn it around, but they need to start now. And again, their schedule's light. This week, they go to Colorado, to San Francisco. Of course, they just lost 2-3 to San Francisco. Two places where they notoriously have not played all that well. They've played better in Colorado than they have San Francisco. But I've declared them done, and I'm keeping with that. I don't see – I see very, very little hope for the immediate future, but I see even less hope for the long-term future. So that's where I'm at.
Well, my blind rankings this week has to do with the Chicago Cubs. And thank you to our good friend Cameron Screeton for helping me out this week. I was having this creative block today, and I was like, I want to come up with something Cubs related. I know we've done a lot of Cubs lists. He gave me a good list. Got some comments here. Your wife put a comment here from your daughter. Hi, Dada and Tan.
Hi, girly.
Hello, Eddie.
I love you.
And Thad Mooney said, hear me out, J-Man. Home run derby, your 2.5-year-old versus my 3-year-old. And can send the video in on how old boy should be hitting bombs.
Agreed. Let's do it. My kid will not let me show her how to hold a bat, so she just holds it like a sword and just tries smack me in the shins. But
kind of reminds me of her dad, junior in high school.
That's right, flailing away. Yeah.
So Cameron came up with a good random list. He said he took cup players from each team going back every 5 years. Ooh, and you can rank them based on how good they were or how much you like them.
Ooh,
good thing. And he thinks you appreciate this list. You probably liked, some guys you didn't, and some guys are known to be fan favorites at some point.
So I love it. Thanks, Cam. Knows my Cubs, my Cubdom very, very well.
Cubdom. I like that word.
Yeah.
Cubdom. So we're going to start this year and go back.
Okay.
5 years. So PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong.
I'm going to go by how much I like him. I'm going to put him at 2. Big fan. Frustrating at times, but like a swag. He's the best defensive center fielder I've ever seen in the Chicago Cubs uniform. He just keeps getting better. This year, I was a little concerned. His second half last year was porous, and the start to this year was bad the first couple weeks. But really, since then, he's been one of the better hitters in baseball. So hopefully he can keep it going.
Turned the clock back 5 years, a guy I forgot about. 2021 team, Frank Swindle.
5. Easy. Easy 5. They loved him. Frank the Tank. The fans loved him, which I understood why they did. It gave him something to cheer about. But he was just synonymous with, like, the darkest time. They just shipped off, you know, my favorite player ever, Anthony Rizzo. Addie goes, I do. She won't let me do anything for her. But anyway, let's do it. Let's get the Sword Masters going.
Love it.
But yeah, Schwindel was a guy that, you know, he took over for my favorite player ever, Anthony Rizzo. They just traded Baez. They just traded Bryant. They just traded, who else they trade that year? Baez, Bryant, Rizzo. I think those were the big three. It was just a sad time. He had a great September. I'll give him that. But I knew he wasn't going to be part of their future at all. So I'm going to go with 5. He's a likable guy, but I didn't particularly like him.
Turn back clock 5 years to 2016 team. Most Cub fans should be all Cub fans. Favorite team they've seen, Javi Baez.
Javi, I'm going to go with 3. Him and PCA are very similar in that they're very polarizing figures where they obviously have very, very good moments. Javi was an MVP candidate 2 years, and he was awesome. They are very similar offensively, where they can hit you 30 homers, but they'll swing at stuff way out of the strike zone. PCA is much more disciplined than Javi, which really says a lot about Javi, honestly. Both great defensively, and they both kind of create havoc out there on the base paths, and they're really fun to watch. So I'm going to put him 3.
5 years before that, 2011 team, Tony Campana.
I wish I could put him 5. That's
I knew that one.
Camo knows I was not a big fan of him, so I'm gonna put him 4. Very, very fast. He was a fan favorite though, because of how fast he was. He could not hit. He was not a very good defensive center fielder. I just wasn't a fan.
So you got the number one spot left.
Yeah,
and it's a guy on the 06 team. Any guesses who you think it might be?
The 06 team was terrible. They lost 96 games, and I'm trying to think, it could be Derek Lee or Ramos Ramirez. I'm hoping it's one of those two, because those will be a number one for me. Could be like a Todd Walker type. Could be.
There's a throwback.
Is it a pitcher by chance?
No pitcher.
Not a pitcher. Juan Pierre?
It's nobody you've named so far.
Nobody I've named so far. 2006. Who was their shortstop?
I remember this guy, but I don't associate him with the Cubs. So I should associate him with a different team.
Cubs 2006.
He had some swagger to him.
Had some swag to him on a 2006 96 lost Cubs team. I'm trying to Matt Merton. Sosa wasn't there in 06. Give it to me.
Jock Jones.
Jock Jones, I should have known that. Crap. Number one.
I associate him with Twins.
Yeah. I loved him with the Cubs. Camo and I, of course, Camo is left-handed here too. We'd always do the Jock Jones little bat flip. You probably remember that. We'd do that all the time. Whenever he hit the homer, he'd just flip it. So that's fun. That was actually my bat flip when I'd hit a single up the middle. So that's about all I could do in high school. But no, that's a great list. Re-ranking, I'd probably go PCA, Javi, Jock, Schwindel, Campana. So,
yeah. Yeah, I thought right when you used five on Swindell, I'm like, he's gonna want that back for Tony. But
yeah, I wasn't a fan of old Tone. Frank Schwindel's doing some. I want to say he works for Rutgers. That's just my guess. I want to say he has something to do with Rutgers baseball. I'm gonna look him up real quick. He went to St. John's. I remember. Let's see what he's doing. Hopefully, it does it for me. Yeah, he's director of player personnel for Rutgers baseball program.
Interesting. So,
Big Ten fella.
Big Ten fella.
Yeah.
That is the blind ranking segment. Thank you again to Cameron Screeton, our good buddy, who is the head baseball coach at the University of Bethel. Go Pilots. But that is the blind ranking segment brought to you by Performer Prince 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picket, or a sales meeting in 2026, or perhaps you know of a show happening in 2027, since we're now halfway through 2026 and you're preparing for 2027. Either way, they have over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Don't look for any other company. Let them be your one source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
It's Bethel University. I just looked it up because it
what did I say?
You said University of Bethel.
My bad. I knew it was Bethel University. I think you're right. Why did I do that?
It used to be Bethel College.
It did. It is university now, but why did I?
Yeah, that's why I looked at it.
I always get mad when people come into the University of Purdue.
University of Purdue. I know that's why I corrected you.
Yeah, thank you.
I know you hate
that. Yeah. I'll never forget. It's like college football final or whatever, like after school. A bunch of us, it was golf season. A bunch of us were in Chad Thomas's room, who was our coach. I think we were doing like study tables before practice or something. I don't know.
I hated study tables.
And Robert Marv was committing to where he was going. Where are we going? We're going to the University of Purdue. And Aaron Lynch and I looked it up. We got one that's not smart. All right. So hit me with that birdie or bogey again, J-Mac. I've done a lot of note-taking here. So
there are six players to win both the Heisman Trophy and the NFL MVP. Can you name those six? Five for a birdie.
I've listed a lot of different Heisman Trophy winners in the last 25 years. I've listed some older ones that I'm not as confident. The NFL MVP is what gets me.
Yeah.
But I'm going with two right off the bat that I know have done. Lamar Jackson.
Yes, sir.
Cam Newton.
Yep.
And now I'm not very confident the rest of my list, but we're going to give it a crack. I knew this guy won the Heisman. He was amazing at the NFL, but his teams were so bad. Barry Sanders?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
There's three. You got two more.
Roger Staubach?
Incorrect.
Ah, shoot. I'm not even sure he won the Heisman now that I think about it. I don't know. Navy was pretty good back then. I'm not going to get him. I know this guy won a Heisman. I think before he snapped his leg, I think he had a good NFL career. Joe Theismann?
Incorrect.
How about Jim Plunkett?
Incorrect.
Just give him to me.
Earl Campbell.
Didn't he come to my mind? I didn't know when NFL MVP, to be honest.
Paul Hornung.
Would have never got that.
And our buddy O.J. Simpson.
O.J. came to my mind right away, and I should have jotted him down. I didn't.
You're back at even, my friend.
Yep. Yep. I deserve it. That wasn't a very good effort. I'm glad I got the two or the three in our lifetime.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm glad I did that because I was like, oh, I'm John Down. I'm like, I'm going to miss one. I'm like, did Joe Burrow win the MVP?
Yeah. Ugh. That was a tough question. Yeah. I was having a hard time finding
it. I like it. I've gave you some real toughies.
Yes, you have. Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. We'll be back at her next Monday with another episode. Have a fantastic week, everybody.